Hi, my name is Rachel, and you're listening to Maker Style, a creative lifestyle podcast where we talk about small business, blogging, and of course, lots and lots of sewing. Listening to the Maker Style podcast is like sitting down for a coffee and chat with your girlfriends who are just as passionate about making things as you are. Hey everyone, I hope that you're having an amazing day. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to episode 2 of the Maker Style podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you here. Today we're going to be talking with Elaine from Meet Cora. Now Meet Cora, if you haven't heard of it, is a really awesome sewing app that right now is only available on the Apple iOS market, but hopefully, fingers crossed, will come to Android soon. But it's all about how to organize your sewing stash and how to get all the fabrics that you have into an app where you can see them and use them. Now, Elaine is the person who not only came up with the idea for Cora, but she totally developed the app herself. She's a software developer who does that, all this awesome tech stuff for a living, and then she went off and made this app in her spare time, which I just think is so amazing that she has the skills to do this. And today she's going to take us a little bit behind the scenes of what it was like to develop the app and also give some awesome tips and information for anyone who might be interested in developing their own app in the future. Now, I just want to give a quick little disclaimer before we jump into the episode today. Not only is Elaine like a super cool software developer, but she's also a nomad and a world traveler. So right now she's living in Senegal, and there's a little bit of a problem with an internet connection. We were trying really hard to make sure we planned an interview at a time where we both had good internet and stuff like that. But there was a couple breakups and stuff like that because she is halfway across the world right now. I've done my best to kind of splice them through and fix it, and she was super great about finding this awesome techie way to get a recording on her end. So hopefully the quality is great, but if there's any kind of weird blips, that's why. But this is enough chatting for the intro of this episode. I'm going to take you straight into the interview. Is there a certain guest or a certain topic you want to hear talked about on the Maker's Dow podcast? If you let me know, I'll make it happen. Just go online to thewildstitch.com, click on the podcasting tab, and go to submit your topic. Fill out the form, it'll take you 10 seconds, and I'll do my best to talk about whatever you want with whoever you want on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, good, good. It's so great to have you on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to us.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Would you mind telling the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hi. So I'm Elaine Martin, and I'm a software developer whose main hobby has been sewing for a long time. I started sewing in high school when I realized nothing fit me in the store. And I'm currently nomadic, so I move about every month to a new place while I work remotely.
Oh, that's so cool. How long have you been living like that?
It's going to be 2 years in early November.
Wow. What made you decide to do that?
A number of things. My husband and I had been living in Seattle for about 10 years, and Seattle is not known for its excellent weather. So I think over time that kind of wore us down. So we were looking for something different. If we were going to up and move our lives anyway, we thought, why not try to do something different for a while and travel around? If we liked it, then we would continue. And if not, then, you know, we'd just find a place to settle down. And so far, it's been a lot of fun. So we've kept doing it.
Now, when you're on the road, how do you keep sewing? That must be so challenging.
It's hard. It's not everywhere that I can do it. I find ways to stay connected with sewing. So right now I'm in Africa, I'm in Senegal, and here there's a lot of tailors, a lot of fabric culture. So going to the markets, touching the fabrics, not buying as much as I would like, speaking with tailors, that kind of keeps me connected. But there's also been a lot of places where I can find sewing spaces, you know, where you can rent machine time by the hour. Or if I have a friend somewhere who has a machine, then I can borrow it for some time. So I found various creative ways to sew, but it's not always obvious.
Oh, well, that's super cool. I think that's awesome that you just packed up and left, and now you're traveling the world and
making things work for you. That's awesome. Now, in addition to being a super awesome traveling software developer, you've also launched a really awesome sewing app called Cora. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. So Cora lets you catalog all your fabrics. I think a lot of sewists are like me in that we collect a lot of fabrics. And at first, you know, there's a plan for the fabrics and you know what you're going to make with it. But over time, it becomes more of just, ooh, this is pretty. Let me take it home without having much of a plan. So, you know, in the, I guess, roughly 13 years that I've been sewing, I've accumulated a stash of fabrics that I loved when I got them, but then that I promptly forgot about. So Cora lets you snap a picture of those fabrics, write as much or as little information about it as you want. So I have some fields that kind of guide you through the information. You can put in, you know, anything extra in the notes field, and then you can look at your whole stash and do things like filter based on length or color, and then sort as well. So you can maybe see the longest fabrics at the top. Maybe those are the ones you want to use first, or the oldest fabrics at the top. That's one that I like. You know, what have I had in my stash for 12 years? Maybe I should think about either using that or giving it a good new home. So for me, you know, it's a lot about minimizing waste and also actually enjoying the fabrics that I do have. So I tried to make the stash view kind of look like what it would look like to browse a store website. So you can just see these nice big pictures of each of your fabrics, and I'm far away from most of my stash. So getting to kind of scroll through and dream about projects has been really fun for me, and it certainly gives me, you know, the little squirt of happiness that you get from shopping online.
Yeah, but it's all in your own stash. How cool is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I have to ask, Cora, what's that about? What's the name significance? What does the name mean?
Good question. Yeah, I played a lot with, you know, names that had to do with fabric and stashes. And I think I almost called it Fabric Keeper, but then I started realizing actually this app could be a lot broader. I would really like to add pattern documenting. I think I could also have notions in there so that you could, you know, maybe have some kind of mood board to, you know, to kind of plan a project.
So useful.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, those are all dreams for now, but I didn't want to box myself in to just doing fabrics. So, you know, I think names can be limiting. So I wanted something just short and sweet, memorable, that wouldn't tie me down to one set of features. Because, you know, so I mentioned this mood board idea. That's one direction it could go in. Another kind of thing I've been thinking about and exploring is, you know, maybe there could be some kind of swap or selling marketplace that happens through this app. You know, so there's a lot of fun ideas that could emerge from this basic concept. And, you know, the short, sweet name Cora lets me add those things and still have a name that makes just as much sense.
Yeah, no limitations.
Exactly. And it's just I like the sound of it. And like I said, short, sweet. To me, it makes me think about efficiency and helpfulness. And so it's a fun name. But my husband did say, like, oh, if you like the name so much, maybe you should keep it for a child and not for an app. But anyway, still went with it.
I really like Cora, selfishly, because my first teddy bear as a kid, her name was Cora, my favorite.
Oh.
So whenever I think of the app, I think of my little green cat teddy bear, Cora. So it's kind of funny like that, but it's a great name. I really like that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Now, did you develop this app yourself?
Yes, I did. It's fully native, fully custom, and it's something that I worked on, well, that I had been thinking about for years and years and years. So there, you know, I was doing a lot of just random doodling and sketching of interface ideas over time. I mean, I'm really talking about over the last 10 years. But I started developing it in earnest this spring, and probably spent about 4 months, you know, solid half time on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what were the steps that you took in launching the app? Like, once you decided this spring that you were going to buckle down and get it done, what did your process kind of look like?
Before I even started writing any code, you know, that is doing any implementation at all, I started contacting some bloggers that I was aware of, some friends in the sewing universe, to just find out whether they thought this was a good idea. And I sent them some sketches of the, you know, of interfaces that I had come up with, some feature lists, some ideas of what I might do with this thing, just to get feedback and make sure I was on the right track. So I actually spent a fair amount of time in that stage, just gathering feedback on the general idea, on the interface, on how people would interact with it before I started building it. And I think that was really useful. I learned a lot. It helped me focus on features that, you know, were broadly useful. And it also helped me identify new features that these community members mentioned that I would never have thought of that turned out to be very popular. So one example is the duplicate fabric feature. So, you know, when you put in a fabric, you can just tap the duplicate button and all of its information will be duplicated into a new one. It turns out we buy a lot of similar fabrics, so that can save a lot of time. I would never have thought of that, but one of my early sort of testers and brainstormers said, hey, this would be useful. So that was kind of, you know, a very important part of the process. Then I started actually building the interface without much functionality, just refining what I had come up with the help of these community members. And sending those out because, you know, of course, something that's real, that's made in the, you know, tools is different than something that I sketch on paper. Refine that a little bit further. And then once I was pretty happy with the feature list and with the general interface, then I could actually go through and develop the functionality. Once I had some of it, I got those early, you know, brainstorming people into a tester program. So as I was adding things to the app, I could send it out to them and they could provide feedback immediately. And that again helps refine how the app worked. And the nice thing is also then when I was ready to release it, I had these people who had been using it for a while now, who had kind of seen the evolution and were ready to talk about it and blog about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So maybe more drawn out than you wanted, but you know, it kind of shows that it's not just about sort of the day of the launch. There was a lot of work kind of throughout the development process that tried to engage with others, get their ideas, and I think that really helped you know, get things ready for it to be released.
No, absolutely. I think that's really important. I think sometimes in business, especially I think in the sewing world, we see a lot of like launches and releases, but we don't see behind the curtain a whole lot. And I think that's really awesome when we can open up and talk about kind of like the behind the scenes of business and stuff like that. I think it's important to see that's not always like super easy and sunshine and rainbows, but sometimes it's tricky and lots of hard work, but always worth it, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah. And I think it's a very similar process that all the pattern developers follow, really. You know, I think there's been some interesting opening up, like you say, about that process. Colette Patterns, for example, has had a little bit of a behind the scenes of their planning, you know, and I was thinking, well, you know, any project, whether it's a sewing pattern or an app, kind of follows a very similar process, which is very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. How much did the final project change from the initial idea that you had? Like through the testing process, how much did it change from your original idea?
The core idea is definitely there. It was a lot of work to figure out the right fields, you know, the right information to hold about each fabric, because it's always a balancing act, right? There are generic database apps that you could use to, you know, catalog your fabrics. But to me, the value add of something specifically for sewing is it guides you through storing useful information. But if there's too many fields, then it's overwhelming, right? And no one actually wants to go through the process of entering all of that. So that evolved a lot, you know, just I would add fields, remove them, add them again. And there was a lot of back and forth with testers as well.
Throughout this back and forth process, was there ever a really challenging moment where you felt like this might be too big of a project that you wouldn't be able to complete it?
I had, when it first released, I had two crashes that happened all the time. And that I saw that, yeah, that were actually, they were happening with the testers, but I wasn't able to pin it down. So I wasn't sure if it was their device or what. So I had identified them, but I just sort of went, hey, I can't figure it out. Maybe it won't be too important. And I shipped it. And in the first few days, I was seeing a lot of crashes because you get some information, you know, as an app developer about what your users are experiencing, but not very much. Just enough to know, like, hey, the application shut down and you don't know more. So that was, yeah, so that for me was very nerve-wracking because an important thing was a polished experience. You know, I know that something that's very important for the sewing community. We're used to seeing beautifully packaged patterns and, you know, great fabric designs. And so, you know, I think it's especially important for this community to have a very polished app experience. And when I saw all these crashes, I was really just like, I should pull it from the store. This is so embarrassing. But you know, it was actually turned out to be a positive experience where I got a lot of emails, you know. Users were really good about just emailing me as soon as they saw the problem. And that helped me narrow down on the issue. And then I figured out, oh, okay, it has to do, I mean, it had to do with screen rotation. And then I could kind of hone in on that. There was one, yeah, screen rotation and one that was specific iPad button issue. But that's when I realized, like, oh, okay, that was really hard seeing those crashes. But now I realize this community is very supportive and, you know, wants to see something like this succeed. So it, you know, it turned out to be very encouraging.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And but I almost pulled it.
Sorry.
I said, but I almost pulled it before I got to that point. And I pulled it from the App Store.
No, and I think you're definitely right about the way this community is, just in terms of, like, being really open about, like, talking about fixing errors and not being too judgy about that. Because I think there's a lot of people in the sewing community, especially online, that are entrepreneurs that are kind of starting out and learning as they go. So a lot of people would kind of recognize that, oh, yeah, this app is going to have some problems with it, like most things that are new, because that's just the way new things are sometimes, and it's not the end of the world. So I'm really happy to hear that you got some positive responses from people, even when they were encountering problems.
Exactly. No, it's wonderful. And another, oh, I was just going to add another kind of fun tidbit related to that. I have a chat feedback feature inside of the app. And so that users can chat with me at any time, and I just get the messages like it was, if it was a text or something. And I mentioned this to some fellow software developers right when I launched, and they just freaked out. They were like, this is going to be horrible. You're going to get so much spam at all hours of the day, and people are going to say horrible things to you, and it's going to be really bad. You know, they said they tried it, and it was terrible. And actually, I only get great messages. Just now I was responding to someone who had, you know, three feature requests that were very well thought out, and she gave a description of what she had in mind. And so it's a really special community that, you know, I'm so happy to be a part of.
That's so refreshing to hear. Now, where do you see Cora growing within the next year?
Well, that's a good question. It's a little bit hard to tell. There are a lot of different directions. I mean, right now I'm still working on getting it in front of a broader audience. And that's, you know, that's tricky with any product. And I haven't quite figured that out yet. So that, of course, affects how much time I can actually spend on it. And so, you know, that will guide what I can do. I mean, one direction that I would like to go in at some point is to build an Android version. I know that's something you're interested in.
Yes. I haven't even had a chance to play around with the app because I'm on Android, and I keep looking at everyone using the app, and I'm so jealous because I just want to try it. But
I know, and I'm sorry. So that, you know, that's something I would like to do. But, you know, the interesting is, like, if I'm going to do that, well, it's a whole different app. So, you know, if I spent about 4 months half time on the iOS app, I have to spend about that time on the Android one as well. So hopefully I can make that time at some point. But I also, you know, at the same time, really would like to expand beyond Fabrics. I think that's something that a lot of users are very interested in being able to keep all of their sewing related stuff in one place. So, you know, I have these competing directions that I would love to go in. So hopefully one of those would be kind of the bigger projects that I would be tackling.
Well, I think what you mentioned so far is really exciting. I love the idea, especially of being able to track your notions as well, because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm at a fabric store and I've got patterns in hand and the fabric, and I'm thinking like, oh, do I have any black bias tape at home? I think I do. I usually have that at home, and then I get home and it's like, oh, rats. You know, I used that up on my last project. So it's nice to know, like, I could go into the app and search and see if I still had any bias tape left, and yes or no, and then make my decision if I need to buy more while I'm there. So that would be really, really handy.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, there are also other kind of seemingly smaller things that I could really dive deep in. For example, color is a big challenge, and it's related to notions because you know, you said black bias tape. Okay, so black is generally pretty easy, although there are different shades of black. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, if you're going to compare your thread color and your fabric color, you have to make sure that the images are pretty close to correct, you know, that the color corrected, and that turns out to be surprisingly difficult. So you know, that could be another project I could dive deeply in, is how to actually represent color so that you can accurately match things like thread and fabric, or bias tape and fabric, and so on.
Yeah, wow, looks like there's lots of opportunities and awesome things that can be coming your way, so that's really exciting. Do you have any quick advice for someone that's kind of interested in starting an app for their sewing business or their sewing interests, but isn't really sure where to start?
Sure. Well, you know, like I said about my own process, I think it's really important to talk to people in the community. You know, if you already have customers, talk to them about what their needs are, because it could be surprising. It could be something a little bit different than what you had in mind, or you know, maybe you'll find out there's actually way more demand than you expected, and so you really have to buckle down and do it. So that's the first thing. And then, well, you'll have to make some challenging decisions about technology, because there's actually lots of different ways to go about getting an app built. So Cora is, you know, it's what I call a fully native app. So that means it's specifically developed for iPhones and iPads, and it uses the technology that Apple makes for them. But there are ways to make apps that are not specifically for iPhone. That would mean that you get Android and iOS at the same time. So, you know, call those hybrid apps. They're cheaper to develop. They, again, will be on both platforms at the same time. So maybe if your requirements are not super complicated, you could go for something like that. In fact, there are even tools that you can use yourself to make kind of DIY apps that are just drag and drop. So if you're trying to do something like share the content of your, you know, your blog maybe in a more app-like way, maybe provide basic e-commerce access through an app, then you can actually probably do that with one of the drag and drop tools that are out there.
Do you have any that you could recommend? I've never heard of this before, and I think it's super cool.
I knew you were going to ask me, so I was trying to pull this up here because I always forget. Let's see. One second. I actually just wrote an article about building apps for crafty businesses for the Craft Industry Alliance, which if you didn't...
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know about that, but it's an organization that is put together by Abby Glassenberg and Kristen Link from Sew Mama Sew. And it brings together people who have crafty businesses to talk about business things and share ideas and resources and so on. And so, yeah, like I said, I just have an article in there about apps for crafty businesses. And so the...
We'll have to link that in the show notes.
Well, it's for members. I know, sorry. but I'm, you know, there are a lot of people who have crafty businesses on there, so it could be interesting. Let's see. One that I was looking at that I thought was pretty interesting has a strange name. This is why I can never remember it. But it's called Good Barber.
Good Barber.
Yes. So that's a tool, drag and drop, that makes it very easy to create very good looking apps. In fact, it's very possible you've used a business app that uses this framework before. But it's great for something where you're trying to share business information, blog, and you know, blog content. It's more you're delivering content in an app. Then you don't need something native. Yeah. So lots of options.
Awesome.
Yeah. But
You go ahead.
I just wanted to mention a fully native app is a time consuming and very expensive endeavor. So make sure that you have a real market for it if you're going to go down that route. It is a big endeavor.
Now, just quickly, but I know we're just about coming at our time, but could you explain just very quickly what the difference is between a native and a not native app? Like, what would be the benefit of going with a native app?
When you have a native app, it gives you access to all of the phone features. So that means, you know, the tilt sensor, all the stuff, the GPS, very easy access to those. It lets you use native interface components. So you've probably used an app on Android where you were like, huh, this doesn't really look like an Android app. Like the menus aren't quite right, or it just doesn't feel right. That's probably not a native app because, you know, if you don't have access to those native components, you might make it look a little unusual. And then also when it's native, you can make it very fast. So you can really optimize it. So it really works very well on your phone. Whereas if it's not native, then it's probably pulling aspects from the web. And that adds some slowness to it. So that's why for Cora, I wanted it to be really fast. I wanted it to look like a real app. And I wanted to have access to more complex user interface features. So that's why I decided to make it a native app rather than, you know, a hybrid app or use one of these drag and drop tools.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this awesome information about app building with us. You've really broken down things that I'm sure are very, very technical into little bite-sized bits of information that I found super easy to understand, and I know our listeners will as well. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Rachel. See you on Instagram and blogs and the rest of the awesome Soosphere.
Before you sign off, would you mind just telling everyone where they could find out a little bit more about you and a little bit more about your app?
Sure. The website is meetcora.com. Meetcora.com. And it has all links to social media. And that's mostly where I've been hanging out sharing pictures of travel and little sewing projects and things like that. So, yeah, you can find me there.
Awesome. And for all of our Apple users, if they search up Meet Cora in the App Store or just Cora, will it come up?
Just Cora. Well, in the US, it will be the first result. Elsewhere, I don't know, so tell me where it is in your country if you're not in the US.
Awesome.
One other thing, and I apologize, this is also iPhone only, but I just launched a fun little stickers app for iOS 10. Yeah, it's called Sewing Cat, and it lets you express all of your sewing things with a cute little cat.
Oh, I love it. So, all right, we'll have to link to that in the show notes as well. That's super cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You as well. Bye.
Hey everyone, that's all I have for today's episode of the Maker Style Podcast. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to that episode just as much as I did recording it, because I had so much fun. You know, my favorite part of this process has been meeting all of you guys. It's been a total blast. If you haven't already come over and said hi, you can do so at my blog at The Wild Stitch, or give me a shout out on Instagram at The Wild Stitch. I am so excited to meet you guys and hang out with you guys there. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.